On a recent hike through a forest in Howard County, my kids and I discovered something interesting growing on the side of a decaying beech tree stump. Each of the shelf-like fleshy growths were white to cream in color, oyster shell-shaped, and about the size of a CD. The top sides were smooth, almost velvety, but the undersides were heavily gilled like an infinite accordion. They were wild mushrooms, of course. My son pointed out that they smelled a bit like black licorice, but we were all very careful not to taste them, as only experienced foragers should ever chance eating wild mushrooms. Using a book on wild edibles, though, we identified them as non-poisonous oyster mushrooms. Mushrooms are fungi, and fungi are fascinating. In fact, they are their own distinct kingdom, separate from animals and even plants because they lacked chlorophyll. They are eukaryotes, which means that their genetic material is stored in the enclosed nucleus or nuclei of the cell. There are 99,000 known species of fungal organisms, and people who study fungi, called mycologists, estimate that there may be as many as 5.1 million total species in the world. That means they are one of the most widely distributed organisms on Earth. They encompass the group commonly known as mushrooms, plus molds and yeasts. Mushrooms, like the one we found, are multicellular fungi. While most of the organism is underground or hidden from view, the fruit, or the part you and I might refer to as the toadstool, is the visible part which contains the spores. Molds, too, are multicellular. A mold's body, or mycelium, is made up of a mass or web of expanding thread-like filaments called hyphae, surrounded by a hard cell wall. That wall is made of chitin, a molecular substance which forms a tough outer covering similar to the hard exoskeletons of insects or crustaceans. Spores grow on some of the hyphae and are spread by air or water. Unlike our mushrooms or molds, yeasts are microscopic single-celled organisms. Their reproduction doesn't rely on spores, and instead occurs when a new cell breaks away from the original cell. All of these fungi can grow in any environment, including in the air, bodies of water, and even in the human body, but they are generally found on land like our oyster mushrooms were. Fungi vary greatly in size, shape, color, and longevity. Some are microscopic and completely invisible to the unaided eye, others are no larger than a pinhead, still others are gigantic structures. Fungi are heterotrophic, meaning they obtain nutrients they need from living or dead organisms around them. Our mushrooms, for example, secured food by secreting enzymes onto the beech tree they were growing on. Then the enzymes broke down the food, which were absorbed into those branched tubular filaments, the hyphae. This feeding strategy means that fungi always live in or on their food. They act as an inside-out stomach. Food is digested first, then eaten. Some of the yuckier things considered fungi include those green molds on the last few pieces of bread you didn't get to, mildew on your shower curtain, the blight that has decimated our chestnut tree populations, ringworm, and that dreaded athlete's foot. But fungi can be overwhelmingly beneficial too. They decompose dead organic materials, providing essential nutrients for other organisms in our ecosystem. Many medications, including the all-important antibiotic penicillin, are made from fungi. We eat mushrooms, morels, and truffles, and of course other animals use those for food too. Yeasts are used for baking bread, making cheeses, and fermenting beer and wine, of course. But they're also hugely important parts of our scientific research and analysis, especially in modern genetic studies and engineering. You can learn more about our fungi by visiting explorenature.org. The Nature of Things is produced by Irvine Nature Center for WIPR. For Irvine Nature Center, I'm Executive Director Brooks Paternotte.